They have 60 days to review it and certify it. And again, that's a process. Well, they'll send us a nice little letter that hopefully will have just a couple items that say, oh, you forgot a comma here or a period there. But it'll likely be a little bit more, unfortunately. Go Cardinals. So what's next after that? Some quick actions that we talked about, the nine actions, first and second quarter, and then other programs that are in the housing element that are over the next 3 years. So the housing element has a time frame of 4 years from 2019 to the end of 2023. Click. Almost to the end. And after that, you have 4 years until we have to go through this whole thing again. Get excited. And really, there's an open question. What do you want to do with the other four elements of the general plan? And it would be my professional recommendation to not ignore that. And we can start a conversation on what that would look like in the future. But it's a big undertaking. And it's essentially looking at the land use element, the extent and distribution of where housing, industry, commercial areas should go. It looks at traffic impact, so there's some very specialized work that needs to be doing to project that out. Things such as conservation, open space, and noise. So there's some technical expertise involved in it. It's not something you just do over a weekend or on the back of an envelope. It's a heavy lift. That concludes the presentation of staff. And I'd be happy to address any questions, ideas, or concerns. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Carl.
What areas were you specifically speaking about?
For the environmental justice?
Yes.
Okay. I can describe them. I do not have a map. So the first and the obvious one would be Page Moore Tract. That's 250 houses, 225 houses. So that's to the west of Foothill, north of Tulare Road.
Okay,
that area. It's all almost all developed, and it's almost all on septic and private water. Or is that?
City.
That's on city water. Okay, you get it straight. So there is an issue with having that many septic fields on small lots. That's a long-term environmental risk. Also, if you drive through there, there's very little in terms of you know, curb, sidewalk, proper gutters. So in terms of the road infrastructure, there's some challenges. And the second one would be at the southwest quadrant of Fir and Foothill, so going further north and turning left. And then the third would be along Foothill Road.
It's all county.
Yeah,
this is all in the county. Okay,
yeah. It's all county property.
Sure, that would be great. That would be. Yeah, I'm visual too. It helps to see a map. I just love maps.
So, is what I'm hearing is that you recommend taking a closer look at these areas and
yes.
possibly adopting them
no.
more.
This would not be a plan for annexation.
Okay.
Four of the five are within the general plan area of the existing one. One of them I'll talk about is outside of the general plan area, but it's within the sphere of influence. So the county thinks that there's a potential for annexation, but the city has not made that as a public statement before.
Okay.
The others, I think where this is going long term is they want to encourage annexation, but they're not forcing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really, on the face of it, is trying how the city can partner with the county and maybe nonprofits and other community partners to create a better living environment. Okay, so
the county can do the infrastructure.
Okay, so yeah, that site right there. Mike, what are the cross streets on that one, that particular one?
That should be Harvard and Mirage, if we're talking about the
Yeah, you can zoom in on that triangle piece.
Actually, it's down there.
Okay, that one.
It's down there.
Okay, if you can zoom in, please. Okay, so each of these has at least 10 housing units. They are in low-income census tracts. They are within the sphere of influence. So the next one would be, let's go up to page more. Generally that area there.
Yeah.
And it looks like the city, okay, except it's not built to city standards.
Right.
Correct. You can zoom up to the north, please. Okay, that area, zoom in. That's at the southwest quadrant of Fur and Foothill.
Mm-hmm.
That area. You zoom out and go to the one on Fur that is south of former Champion Homes.
Mm-hmm.
That area there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third, or the final one is just south of the cemetery. If you can go there, please.
Oh, okay.
There's 10 houses out there. So that's Christ of Praise Hill to the east.
The hill.
Yes. Yeah. And this is the area just to the west that is developed, and there are at least 10 houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what we have to do in our analysis that's required by the state are look at things such as, are there adequate public facilities? Is there adequate access to food? So food access. And for most of these, they're in food deserts, by the definition of the USDA. Are they positioned to encourage physical activity? They're really looking at the quality of life and social justice issues. They're important. I mean, that's part of what being in a community is. But we have to remember they were developed out in the country.
Right.
Not to city standards. So it's a kind of an awkward dance, but we are required to take a look at it.
So that part that we're considering on the east side could help to satisfy some of these issues, maybe with
recreation opportunities, certainly proximity to Pagemore.
Right.
But there's no obligation to annex, but, you know, so many agencies have put their fingers in their ears and have gone, la, 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 we didn't build it, not our problem. But we recognize from the different legislation that's happening related to water, you know, being a human right now, they're wanting to up the ante a little bit to see if they can encourage us to provide services. That's where it's going to go, at some level or another, to do that.
Yeah. So now we have to do the survey. We have to
analysis,
figure out what the situation is. Now,
I think we have to get smart, and then they'll tell us to get busy.
Yeah.
I know, I've been a big, asking a lot of questions about that before, too, just because I work at Lincoln, and I know a lot of people that live there and or go to school there and complain or have concerns.
They think they're Lindsay.
Yeah. I know that it's a big task and very costly, but I think that in the long run, I mean, what's the best thing for our people, for our kids?
Yep.
And that also, you know, not encourages, but allows them, if at any time the state might offer
in the way of help, is they want us to figure this out.
I mean, it seems like the state's, you know, just continues to push the burden onto nonprofits, other partners, counties.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we can't get some help from those partners.
Thank you, Carl. Mm-hmm.
So if I could add to council, this has been a long process. Staff in the city, we've been to court and challenged over the adequacy of our general plan. We have prevailed, but our days are numbered of being able to prevail, and there are new mandatory elements that must be addressed, and that's why Carl has been working with us. Again, he's expert at policy, he's expert at this sort of planning, and he's been a valuable resource to us. To do a complete general plan, in the cheap seats, it's $500,000, and we heard that it was Delano that was having theirs done, starting off low bid of $900,000. And so the process that we're following pulls out a little bit of money as we go along, and so I do hope personally that council decides to pursue this piecemeal approach that we've been following with continuity, with institutional knowledge, and I wanted Carl to have the opportunity to meet you because of the services that he has so efficiently provided for us.
Thank you, Carl. Well done.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I love Lindsay.
Thank you. You should move here.
Thank you, Carl.
I guess he lived here for, or worked here for 5 years or something.
Yes.
prior to 2000. Okay, where are we at? Where are we now?
Number nine,
a public hearing, resolution 1944, approval of fiscal year, oh, it's the budget, all right, and the five-year capital improvement plan, and again, appropriation limit for this coming year. So this can be a presentation however we want. We had the draft presentation last time we went over with some detail. This can be, we can repeat that tonight, or we can just have Brett focus on what changed, if anything. So,
well, I like the way this is presented, but I would like time to look through it now that it's more understandable. Can we table it until next time?
Well,
so we could
I
have
think that it has to be approved tonight. We're on the we're up to the deadline. That's what we had.
Why are we always
last time
on a deadline?
Well, that's mandated by the state.
Because
we have lots to do.
Yeah. This was emailed to us. It's basically, so this is the same as what we looked at last time in our draft. It with just a couple of changes that Brett can identify.
Yeah. It's in the same
this,
form.
This is yeah. the presentation has been slightly altered from the one that was in the last council meeting, and it's been on this website after the council meeting, posted it the next day. And there's only slight differences.
We did take home a draft budget last time that was all printed up that was almost exactly like this.
Mm-hmm. So I'm open to approach our council talking to tonight.
Let's just go over the adjustments.
Just go over the adjustments and then see if there's some other questions that need to be brought out.
Yes, that's yours to take home.
Okay.
And there's some in the back as well for the audience.
Yeah. See, you can have mine.
I'm going to thank you.
You bet.
All right, so just before getting into it, just a review of how the process goes tonight and the purpose of it tonight. So kind of similar as I've said before, at the June 11, 2019 City Council meeting, staff presented the draft budget. The presentation tonight is nearly identical to the presentation provided on 6/11. Council and public will see a circle in the presentation tonight around any content that does not match the prior presentation, so basically the changes since then. And you will also see a footnote on the pages identifying the reason for the change, and we'll hear an oral reminder of what the information was in the 6/11 presentation. Two, this is a public hearing, so the audience will have an opportunity to comment on the proposed budget in accordance with the rules of a public hearing. Three, staff posted the 6/11 presentation draft budget on our website on 6/12. Staff included the presentation and proposed budget in the City Council packet for tonight's meeting and posted on the City's website and at the library last Friday. Tonight, Council will vote on Resolution 1944 to adopt three components. One is the budget, the second is a five-year capital improvement plan, and the third one is a GAN appropriations limit. If Council votes to not pass the resolution tonight, then the budget becomes effective on 7/1, and Council will need to request budget amendments to make any changes they want at that point. And then staff would also need to prepare a separate resolution for adopting the five-year capital improvement plan and, again, appropriations limit if the resolution 1944 does not pass. But I assume we may be able to just alter the resolution and scratch the budget part and leave the other two components. Andrew, if they only want to pass the GAN and the CIP? Okay. All right, so with that, am I too far away? Come on. Okay. There we go. Again, the five sections we went over, funds, capital improvements, people, other, and summary. No changes from this part of the presentation. This part did change. The general fund, this is the...
way too salt for lunch today.
Come on.
All right, so the history here doesn't change. The one thing that you do see that's different here on the general fund is a circle around the proposed fiscal year 2020. And the last presentation on the 11th, that number was 335,300. We had a discussion with the Wellness this last Thursday. There was concern about transfers not being sufficient from the city side, and so the city has increased the transfer to put it up to the $200,000 level there. We also had a salary allocation schedule change. So what that means is that the salaries didn't change, but how much of an individual position salaries allotted to or allocated to each fund had some change to that. And that has to do primarily in city services, where we had an employee leave the city and the responsibilities were redistributed to other employees, but those employees' salary allocation schedule didn't change to represent what now their assignments are. And so where they are now more in water, one of them, it was still being allocated to parks or to streets. And so we've made those adjustments. And you'll see that is a primary change throughout. And then we also have a public works site and equipment need. There is a large format printer scanner that we have over there that handles all of the building plans, allows us to scan the maps, to print large format banners. That has gone down and is no longer functioning.
We got that when I was hired back in about 1998, and it served us well, but it's dead.
And you can't find parts. You try.
And so including tax, the estimates we have are about $16,000 to replace that. And so that amount had to go on the budget because that's an item we didn't have scheduled in there. So with all those different changes, it's coming to $305,700 will be the extra. It's still important to note that the proceeds from the sale of Sierra Vista Plaza are $212,000. That's a one-time. And then the cannabis retail tax, we're looking at hoping about $125,000 this year. But if both of those were to not come to fruition, then we would not have sufficient money in our general fund to meet our existing needs there.
All right. And you've got that written to the side here, that basically that $300,000 is dependent on those two things that really taking place.
Correct.
Okay.
Let's see, next is water. Water decreased. It was at $55,200. Again, with the updated salary allocation schedule, it has dropped to $41,300. And that number I'm giving you is the net. It's the revenue minus expenses or expenditures depending on the fund that you're in. Sewer, that one decreased as well. Same thing there, from $49,900 down to $28,400. Again, that salary allocation change. Refuse improved slightly through that change. It was a negative $1,800. It's moved up to a negative $1,400. So we had a $400 swing on that one. There wasn't much of that individual salary allocated to refuse. So, wellness and aquatic. And so it was at a $200 positive. That's moved up to $21,200 with an additional $21,000 coming as a transfer from the general fund over to wellness. There's still the risk of the Lindsay Hospital District Board significantly reducing the funding support, and so that's still something that we need to be aware of in the future. It poses a risk there to the facility. Is it? McDermott, no change there, so zero. So the committed and restricted funds. There was a slight change in the gas tax fund, and I'm going to pause here for just a second and note that the Fund 260 is not on here because council not approved it yet when we put this together and sort of leave it the way that it was. As the budget comes out, there will be a 260 line in there with the changes that were approved tonight, but the numbers and sum in total won't change. It's just going to be a different representation on those restricted funds. And so that one dropped from $41,000 in the gas tax fund down to $26,800. And then special revenue funds. This is one, if you may recall, that off to the left side last time had a note that said that these will be refined prior to the budget public hearing and a public hearing for the landscape and lighting assessment districts on 6/25, because we've not had a chance to go through to see what those changes would be that might present it tonight with the 83 cents drop per month or whatever they were in those. And so now that we're able to complete that process, we have accurate numbers for you there. So, and the I should say the Vita Pact one, I may need to come back later in the year to do an amendment for that one, because that contract is in the process of changing, and it's going to be more, we're a pass-through for that. The money comes from Vita Pact to us, and then we take and give it to Brower. We don't keep it or use it, but the amount of money is going up $9,000 a year. It's going from one to the other, and so our budget, while there be no net difference, we need to make sure that we account for that appropriately in the budget. And so Mike can tell you the story of why we're in the middle of that. It's because that's where some of the wastewater is going, the effluent. So am I saying that? Okay. So, and so it fertilizes the field out there. Next is debt service. No change to debt service. CalPERS, there will be a change in the future, but the state does not publish the new numbers. Kind of what's going on there is they're reducing slowly the amount of return they expect to have. They're being careful with it, not to do it all at once to make everything fall apart, but they still have some room to go before they get down to what's going to be the true long-term impact. And as those return on investment rates go down, our unfunded liability goes up because we have to make up the difference. Okay. And it's this next year, 1920, is kind of a reprieve for us, but those future years are going to accelerate again. And it's they have their actuaries that tell you what year needs to be what, and we have no control over those numbers they give us. No changes to the capital improvements for just general or for streets or for streets or for water. Again, that concern in the Hurtado conversation is definitely an important one to get this in front of her and to say this is what we're facing here, a $5 million deficit on projects we can't fund over the next several years but need to fund. And let's see.
Yeah, she could be our hero.
Yeah. Sewer, same as last time, the 1.3, almost 1.4 million dollar underfunding in the future. And staff will come back to council on what to do to handle that in the future too. This is a new item here on the new positions. Before, under city services, we only had the new engineering technician. Now we've added a new part-time inspector. Right now the city has a contract inspector, but rules for when someone can be an independent contractor and when someone really needs to be considered a city employee have been swaying far to the side of everyone really should be a city employee. And so the risk that we run with that is if we're not reporting them as a city employee when the state would consider them to be, the city has to go and back pay all of the city share of PERS, all of the employees' share of PERS, and a penalty. And so we are looking at realizing that that's something that really needs to come in-house because of just what the structure is between an independent contractor and an employee is. And so that one is in there now. It was a wash, really, for the cost because we're either paying the contracted rate or paying the employee rate. But it's going to wash there.
And one other thing, just so the rest of the council knows, our can be aware, an additional position that we need to take a very hard look at is that of a full-time planner. We've been contracting, and it's just really has not worked out too well. And so we've asked Brett, after we approve this, to do some examination to see if we can find the money to bring someone back, be like Brian Smonhurst. Who we lost because we've got some big opportunities and we need someone really in-house who knows our story, who could be here to put us first rather than contracting with a huge company and little Lindsay gets put on the bottom of the stack.
Well, that's a valued point, but you're digressing.
I'm done.
A lot.
Okay. All right, so that change has been reflected in here as well. And that new, the billing inspector one is a new item. This was not on the last one, but it is in the printed budget now that's been online to show that that position would be a new one to fill. These are annual full-time rates. The expectation is that building inspector would not need to be full-time and continue that kind of part-time level, so the cost would not be as significant. As a reminder, again, we have two tiers in our miscellaneous employees, those hired before 7-1 of 2018, that have 5% increases between their steps, and those that are tier two, that I didn't change the header, that should say tier two on there. They were hired after 7-1 of 18, and they have 3.5% step or increase between their steps. Same number of steps, just a different step and a different, the same starting place. No changes to public safety. And then no changes in the comp and benefits, as we discussed. The employees in the MOU allows us to give up to 2% increase, maximum increase for miscellaneous. That is scheduled in this budget to go to them. And then there's a 5% increase for public safety, in large part thanks to Measure O that allows that to happen. And there will also be a 5%, 4 or 5 percentage point swap and PERS for public safety. The transfers then, that's where you see the, from general plan, too much of that today, from the general fund to the wellness center is now a $200,000 even transfer. And as the discussion went the other night, there's supposed to be that Lindsay Wellness Center Programming Committee. It's not going to make a good acronym at all. But they are two council members, two board members. They're the ones that get together, put together the programming by year, and determine what can happen there. And that would be the place to discuss this MOU and address any language issues that are there in that.
Question on that. So when we meet next, which will be pretty soon, like in the next week or two, I think, is this something that we can bring up and say, like, hey, just FYI, this is in the budget already?
If you approve this tonight, it will be in the budget as of July 1st. I mean, that would be Monday, right?
Appropriate so, to say.
Yeah.
To tell them, though.
Yeah.
That way they can report back to their board.
Absolutely.
And say, like, hey, after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so with, I should state, too, with all these changes made today, we had a meeting of the budget ad hoc committee, and all these were approved to make these changes, both these and the ones you saw circled earlier tonight. The GAN limit, that's one of the components tonight, basically saying that you can't tax the community too much, and we are far below what an appropriations limit would be for the city of Lindsay.
What do you mean? Say it again? Sorry.
So the state is interested in making sure that a community doesn't take too much from the community, and so there's ratios between income level changes and population changes. The state sends us data each year.
Are you talking about services or city services?
No, revenues, tax revenues from the public.
Oh, revenue.
Yeah, you can't have the entirety of the city charging too much for things. And this shows that right now we have the 55.4 million. You know, expenditures where it could be as high as 14.8 for income levels in the community and population.
Tax, 9 million
and so,
more not being
which isn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But it's just showing that Lindsay is by no means out of line with how we're treating residents here. Now, we want that appropriations limit or number to go up because we want more business and more revenue to be doing more things for the community. But we're... If we deal with that problem, it'd be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the summary, these haven't changed except for a word, removal under the concerns dealing with the wellness center. It was part of the discussion from the other night. And that is what I have for you tonight for the budget, which was much shorter than last time. Any questions for me, Council? Thank you all for all of your input and help for this whole process.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Brett, just well done. We will have, we will open public hearing at this time. If anyone from the public wishes to come forward and make a statement, we invite first those who might speak favorably for the budget or generally favorably or just have a question, come forward at this time.
Oh.
project, man. I don't know
what you're doing. My energy. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair, and for this resolution, let's get this started and get to work. Let's get everything flowing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I had a question for Brett. You know, on the summary, I was important not to write on this thing since it was for the district. So my question is, you know how you mention on the it's regarding the wellness and McDermott. On the wellness on page 4, that means that we're pretty much going to meet the expenditures because we have $21,200 in savings there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Unless the, regarding the hospital board in the future does not, support
it. What they told us, this is where we ended up. Obviously, if we have some kind of catastrophic failure of some part of the facility over there, then we would overrun the expenses.
Right. So under debt, page 6, item 12, the debt service. So when you're saying that the wellness center, for example, you guys have to pay out $109,900?
So there is a 30 or 40 year debt on the wellness center. And that, for council, there's at the back of the budget document, you have schedules for all of our debt. That will have the allocation, or not allocation, the
payoff time.
What's it called? Amortization schedule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For each of those. And you're going to find the wellness on page 83 through 85. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 83 through 84. And in that, it's going to show when the payments. We have a payment that's due in July and a payment that's due in January each year. And that red outline in your copies identifies the ones that are going to be this fiscal year coming up. And the first payment, the July payment, I'm going fiscal year. That's why July comes before January. So there's interest of $43,000 plus principal of $47,000. And then there is another interest payment, interest only in January, it's $42,137. And you'll see those run all the way through until that is paid off. That was a $3 million long top up of the night. And it's through the hospital board's contribution that it covers that.
So my question is that included as in part 4? It's not, it is included. So we're still making a progress there.
Yes.
That's good. And then on the McDermott Film House, on page 5, it's projected. So this year we ended up paying, the city ended up paying $19,000, correct?
Yes, there was some fire system issues there at the beginning of the year that we had in that department. We may change that over to be a general fund one to cover that expense for the year, but right now that's where it stands.
Okay. And then for year 2020, right now we don't have any estimate what that cost would be. Any costs?
No revenue, no expenses.
No revenue.
Operating it.
Okay. So we continue though to pay the on page 6
the debt service. For
yeah.
Yes.
So that's.
Yeah. There's 6 or 7 years left in that one, and that's going to be on page. That is referred to as a 2012 revenue bond from the government. It's on page 80 of your budget. And its final payment will be December 15th, 2026. So we're nearing completion of that one. And it started back in 2012. It was refunded. And it was refunded doesn't mean given back. Right? What it means that we've got new funding to cover the prior funding.
So we have 7 years left.
Yes.
Okay. And the income coming in or any revenue coming in from the McDermott, we won't know till the end of the year.
Correct.
Okay. That's my question. And also the PERS that you said those are the concerns. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much that amount would be for concerns?
So PERS is a
retirement fund, I know.
Multi-variable mm-hmm. function there. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot that goes into that. Mm-hmm. There are actuaries of the state. They have a department that manages all of that. Mm-hmm. They send us updates every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we deal
with... But more or less you could project what the amount would be. Based.
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
It's they. That's why they pay.
Don't they do a certain percentage every year for the purse?
No. Mm-hmm. There's two parts to it. Mm-hmm. There's an unfunded liability, which is what that chart was. Mm-hmm. That's a difference between what the system needs mm-hmm. to continue. Employees, mm-hmm. current employees, we have amounts that are paid by the city at each paycheck mm-hmm. to go to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Those are set rates,
mm-hmm.
and those are part of the salary and compensation figures that are in the budget.
Yeah. So that was my concern. So you're actually adding the position full time, right? That position was part time, the finance and.
Yes. So there's a transition from yeah. a part time accountant yeah. to a full time finance.
So account. That's going to be more funds that maybe we might not have next year.
That's built into this budget. It's mm-hmm. already accounted for
yeah.
in the budget. And depending on who comes in, it may be a Pepper employee, maybe a Classic employee.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference there is it would typically be a lower purse cost than the regular full-time employee mm-hmm. of a Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was just looking at the first. If that's a question, that's with personnel. And so hiring a full-time person versus part-time does increase your CalPERS.
For that a part-time position may as well.
But it won't, yeah. But it's always due to the amount that the person makes that the CalPERS is calculated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? You want? Okay. Seeing no one, we will close the public hearing and bring this item back before the council. What action the council wishes to take.
Can we discuss it?
Yes, council can have, if you have any further questions or for discussion.
Yes.
You may do so.
All righty. Well, first of all, I would like all of you to turn to page 10.
In the budget?
No.
Or
in the operating budget, yeah.
Okay.
And you'll see here the salaries of the people that live in Lindsay. It's not a good thing.
It's a house. Are you talking about the household income chart?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's really low. And my question to you is, why are we not hiring people from Lindsay or the surrounding areas for positions that are available here in the city?
Well, I guess it depends on what positions you're talking about. We have
any position. We have plenty of educated people here in Lindsay that have to work elsewhere because the city of Lindsay does not hire them.
So it sounds like a question for me.
Yeah.
Since I direct staff, when we have openings, we post them on the website. We get them out in many avenues as we can. And we invite people to compete for the jobs. For some jobs, we have many people apply and compete. We go through if there are educational requirements, if there are qualification requirements that weeds some out. But it's a level playing field, and everybody has a chance to compete, and we try to hire the best we can because our responsibility is providing services to the residents of Lindsay, not to give person X the job. You know, we're trying to do what's best for the community.
Well, but I believe, strongly believe, that what's best for the community is hiring from the community.
Then I would encourage you to encourage them to apply for jobs when they're listed and compete.
And another thing, I don't think these job announcements are being placed where anyone can see them. I mean, it's only in our city, right? We're not in our city website.
The ones, well, it depends which ones you're talking about. If you're talking more like mid-management executive type ones, those go out on the website. They go on recruiting portals. They go on
which recruiting portals? Because I'm on all of them.
So there is MMASC. There's government jobs that you can look at. Open an account there.
What is MM? I've never heard of that one.
So MMANC and MMASC are the Municipal Management Association. Those would be ones that go to for mid-management because we're going to have people with experience are in those fields. And then we have Indeed or LinkedIn.
I have never seen anything on Indeed.
Have you seen it on LinkedIn?
No.
Okay. The current recruitments we have on LinkedIn, we would probably not put a part-time parks person on LinkedIn. That's going to be one that goes out. And all of these go on our Facebook page as well, which has pretty good dissemination throughout the city. And so they're marketed for people to apply. And we're limited by those that submit applications. We've wanted more people to apply. You throw that wide net, and you're waiting for those.
Yeah, because, you know, the city of Visalia places all low-level, mid-level, high-level jobs on Indeed and in the newspaper.
So I'm not questioning the validity of your concerns, but I do think that we're veering from the agenda item.
Well, the thing is, this is in the agenda. This is a fiscal year. This is part of this budget. Mm-hmm. And if you look into the annual income of the citizens from Lindsay,
what does that have to do with the budget that we're actually looking at now?
Because I think the pay structure maybe should be changed.
Okay, so you're making a point you think the pay structure is not correct, or it's not what you
think it should be changed.
What's the rest of the council feel? Are there other questions or concerns? I'm sorry, we closed public hearing.
Yeah. I just want to say that some people in the community really.
Which is a question we're legally not allowed to ask. Discussion from other council members?
I move for approval of the budget.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Watson. Is there a second?
Does that motion include the
other two items as well?
The GAN item and the capital. I have a question before project.
If it's approved today, or does that, okay, does it have to be approved today? This is my question.
If the budget's not approved today, the city charter declares the budget becomes effective regardless on July 1st, and you come back through budget amendments to make changes to it.
Okay, so if we approve it today with what we have, are we able to amend later?
So we can always make amendments. Mm-hmm.
As needed, you know.
Yes.
You see fit.
Yes.
And so as I mentioned earlier, maybe bringing a budget amendment to you later dealing with that buy-to-back item. And so those happen sometimes. We had one a couple weeks ago where we had additional money from TCAT. It wasn't in the budget before. I mean, it included, and I identified that for the equipment purchases, and so you had a opportunity to make that budget amendment.
Okay. Can I ask if there's a second? The motion that's on the table to approve? I'll second. Okay, seconded by Cortez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Councilor Watson.
Aye.
Councilor Cortez.
Aye.
Councilor Flores.
No.
Councilor Sanchez.
No.
And Mayor Kimball.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-2. Okay, our next item 10 is a minute order request to designate a voting and alternate member for the 2019 League of California States Conference. Is that my breath?
Mayor, I'll just present that from my seat if that's all right.
Yeah.
It seems really brief. So the League of California Cities is coming up. I think it's in Long Beach again this year?
Yeah.
Long Beach this year. And at that, there's a meeting towards the end of the conference where delegates from each city are able to vote on the direction and different resolutions that the League is putting forward in that coming year. So that has to be approved by Council Action. Who the delegates will be. You have a voting delegate, and then you have up to two alternate delegates, and we simply put the name and title down and sign a paper and send it back to them. And then what they do is they'll send a packet of information saying, here are all the resolutions. Please become familiar with and be ready to vote on them when you come down. And if I remember right, it was probably 80 pages last time, maybe somewhere in there, but they're broken up by resolution.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Yes, on that note, do we know who all is going? Are you?
So at this point, only you have replied that you're going. So I think it would make a lot of sense to have Laura Cortez be the voting delegate.
There you go.
And we don't need an alternate. That doesn't mean no one else is going to go, but so far that's
okay.
You're the one that's.
I certainly hope more of you do. We come back with great ideas. We have networking opportunities, yeah. So much to learn. And again, in government, unlike academia, we want to replicate what somebody else has done. We don't have to be cutting edge on anything. And it's a great opportunity to meet with some pretty sharp folks out there.
Yeah, and I hadn't been able to attend due to prior commitments and not enough notice prior. So I'm really appreciative of getting the dates now and all that information. So I'm going to go.
Excellent.
I'll go.
Awesome.
All right. And so there's money in the council's budget for this conference up to all of you attending. So that's part of
what can we tell you, like, what's the, like,
the early bird registration is coming up.
Next week? Oh, early bird.
I thought I saw July.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's pretty soon. It's in October, right?
The event is
October 16th through 18th, I believe. In Long Beach.
16th, 17th, and 18th.
And really the opportunity to ride the shuttle from the hotel to the conference. You have some really good times of conversations. We had some people down from San Diego. I'm sure. And we had one of the council members from Chula Vista, another one from San Diego that rode with us one day. And a lot of really interesting conversation there. So it's a great conference for you.
So
it is 16, 17, and 18, but I don't know the cutoff right now. We can send you guys another email on that. But yes, sooner's better. Great opportunity, and the cost is covered.
Give me a day or two.
And then once we get closer to the date, like, we'll arrange for transportation, like, from here, like, because I've never been, so do we just get there?
Car. We'll take a city car if you desire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The colorful one? I'm just
kidding. If you want it, we can arrange that for you.
All right, so I'm just going to make a motion that Laura, as our vice mayor, be the voting delegate at this conference.
We don't have to have an alternate.
We could have an alternate, but it's not.
I seconded it.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Congratulations. Yes. Awesome.
You get to study those issues. Okay, and then we have another minute order. Item 11, approval of correspondence to Lindsay Unified School District concerning Harvard Park. The letter was in our agenda packet, identifying what the ad hoc committee is thinking of if we can, for Harvard Park, as well as the possibility of the park at the school.
Right. That's really the primary objective is to work with the school district to get this nearly 4.5 acres behind the food service building.
Mike, did you want to say anything about that?
the detail, we've been meeting since March, and we actually had to take a little time off around the OPF festivities, but the committee's been very active. And really what's driving the committee is what the Key Club members survey did at the beginning of the year. And so that is, there's three primary objectives based on the survey. Soccer park was included as one of the objectives, even as our soccer park was opening and becoming active. But it's looking at more of an east side area park with, and I've got it on Google Earth here. I think you can see it there as well. But we also went through a little bit of history about what actually Harvard Park is, and its primary purpose is the storm drain retention basin. But then hearing and then investigating opportunities, here's the J.J. Caron site, and here's the Reagan School site. Both these sites are open to the general public after school hours. And looking at the three priority items from the Key Club members, those sites take care of all three of those identified needs. We met with the school district, Grant and Merced. They were not opposed to it, which was a little shocking. And so their request from us is to develop a letter a little more specific to needs of what we're looking at. The letter identifies that using the Caron site as an east side potential park, but the restriction or the weakness would be we can't spend city money on property we don't own. And so is there a possibility? That's the next step. The letter's identified Superintendent Rooney. He can present it to the board, see if they're willing to entertain parceling and splitting off or creating a joint use. So there's a potential avenue for two options. The difficulty is on the north side, the Reagan side, you have a track, you have playground equipment, you have basketball courts, you have soccer and open space recreational areas here, and you have parking. And it's all open to the general public after school events and hours. And down here, it's just open space. It does have a soccer field that's lined. And we have some tennis courts. This one here, the furthest west court, is actually a basketball court they transitioned to. And the courts are not in bad shape. And so there's some opportunity to create something that the Key Club members identified as an east side focus. So really the letter, looking for council support on the letter to go to Tom Rooney and start that conversation.
Council, I would like to add also the reason that this is being considered. Mike had mentioned the primary purpose of Harvard Park is stormwater retention, which is correct. But as we've looked at developments that would occur there, because it's a stormwater basin, you have steep slopes all the way around it. And whatever we do must be ADA accessible. And the Kiwanis has been pushing to develop this for a few years now. And that's always the fly in the ointment, because you're going to have to have someone do grade checks on this, do a topographic study, the engineering on it, and grade it. And that's just to make it usable. That's not even doing the improvements that people would like to see. And so I applaud the ad hoc committee for coming up with this alternative idea, because the site is flat. It's either non-utilized or underutilized, and it could do really well for the east side of the community. And we can still do soccer and things like that in this as we move toward the future. So I think it's a great idea. But if you get asked, that's the reason we're not really focusing on Harvard. It's going to be tremendously expensive just to get access, proper access to it, before we do any desired improvements.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so we have before us minute order to approve this letter going to the school superintendent. What action would the council like to take?
I'll move for approval.
Moved by Watson.
Second.
Second by Sanchez. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. Good luck to that letter.
Mm-hmm.
I have before us a request to take a short break, which I'm supportive of myself. So if everyone's okay with that, we will take a 5-minute break or so, and then return primarily for our closed session. anyone in the audience, we will, when we come back, we will be going almost immediately into closed session. So thank you for being here.
I'm going to jump up now.
Agenda items from the council at this time.
I don't know if it's an agenda item or maybe it's just something I just need to ask, but kind of in relation to what Yolanda was mentioning, I know that we've had interns mm-hmm. here before. If we could get some information as far as like how or where they're from or, you know, I don't know if that's
sure.
a possibility.
We had one that just finished. It's Elian
Corona.
Yeah, Corona. He's on his way off to Monterey, CSU Monterey, and he was in the finance department for quite a while. The school's talked with me about doing some more, and the plan is to have him come through the departments. And if you also would like a presentation on that, we're absolutely.
I just think that's like a great segue for them, even if they do go away to college, to maybe, you know, gain that experience and then come back. Hopefully one day and want to live here and work in some capacity or another.
And I've had several planning interns. The most recent one I had was a Lindsay graduate. I don't remember. I think he went to Fresno State and he was going off to Cal Poly for a planning degree. So I had him between his undergraduate and his graduate work. And he worked for me for most of the summer. So we try to grab local people that are available. Sometimes, though, we need specialized skills. And sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. But the pathway through, the school district and working with them has been really advantageous in creating those opportunities.
And I think we need to highlight that, just like the district is now doing as well, because there is that sense that, they don't care about the people here, they're not giving opportunities, or we're not, when in reality, they do exist.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
We just need to highlight
they're
that.
They're here,
we
just have to
need a
PUSD has internships as a graduation requirement.
Yeah. Well,
I don't
so
know.
Does LHS.
No,
yeah.
They do that
yeah.
now?
Okay.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. It's a great program.
Taking an earful from Sabelle, what a great thing would be to come back and work at the state.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's now go into a closed session.
Thank you.
We're coming out of closed session, and our attorney will announce what is appropriate.
So as to item two, with respect to city manager employment, there were, after discussion by the council, there's a motion by Watson, second by Cortez, to hire an interim city manager, be effective after Bill's employment ends on August 31st. There was a motion by Watson, second by Cortez, and it passed 3-2. On the same topic, there's a second motion by Watson, second by Cortez, to extend the interim city manager position to the finance director, Brett Harmon. And that also passed 3-2 with the with the details of that offer to be formulated and presented in executive session in two council meetings.
Thank you.
That's it.
All right. And with that, we will adjourn this meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.